You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. Also, if you're listening to the podcast of this, it is at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Understanding Healing, Meditative Reflections on Deepening Medicine Through Spiritual Science, Collected Works, Volume 316. This is after the lectures. This is a written work right here in the book. It's the first newsletter for the doctors following the Christmas course, which was the first half of this book, for those committed to medicine. And it's given, this was sent out from the Gertianum on the 11th of March, 1924. Dear friends, in compliance with what we promised on the occasion of the Christmas conference about the way the medical section at the Gertianum was to be managed, we send this first newsletter to those who are connected with us in the cultivation of medicine. It is carried by the sentiment which united us at the medical courses at New Year. It would like nothing better than to include with each word something of the feeling for suffering humanity, from which alone must come not just the devotion to healing, but also its real power. Quote, in ancient times there lived in the soul of initiates, powerfully, the thought that each person is ill by nature. And education was seen as being equal to the healing process which gave children, as they matured, also the health for full humanity in life. Close quote. It is good to contemplate such powerful thoughts, obtained from the perception of ancient instinctual wisdom. In the soul, if we want to prepare the soul to grasp the effects of healing in the right kind of inner composure. Let us not forget that the healing process has to be accompanied by a soul, because it has to address not just a body, but also a soul. The more young physicians understand such thoughts, the more those things will flow into medical life which the thoughtful physician is longing for when he or she experiences the state of his or her art with its limitations, and which the patient will experience as a blessing when he or she experiences it in the healing process. Dear friends, those of you who were gathered here in January accepted with an open heart what sought you out on the basis of such sentiments. We will never forget how this was reflected in your eyes, how we encountered it in your warm words. Our thoughts were with you, and today they go to you for the first time in response to the questions you have asked. We will send the following to individual addresses and ask those who receive direct mailings from us to make sure that they are forwarded to the addresses notified by us. Questions and answers. Number one, in response to a question regarding the difficulties which the prospective physician encounters both in the study of conventional medicine and the medical courses in the anthroposophical movement, we can only reply that it will precisely be our endeavor to remove these difficulties in the course of time through the communications in these newsletters. Dr. Wegmann is prepared to give the meditation, which is described as supplementary in the letter, to those who feel a need for it. Number two, regarding studies at the Gertianum. Practical studies will, of course, be taken care of as far as possible, but we ask for patience in that respect. We will notify the time from which registration is possible in these newsletters. Number three, regarding the question about certain subjects being set for staff of the medical section of the School of Spiritual Science, we note that we would be happy to take the work in this direction, but it will be easier to negotiate such subjects through individual correspondence than insertion in this newsletter. But here, too, we ask for a little patience. We will come ever closer to our goals, but we can only progress one step at a time. We would also like to add that in future questions that are asked regarding the treatment of very specific cases will not be answered in the newsletter. We welcome, of course, questions of a general therapeutic nature that are asked with regard to the medical courses which have taken place, as well as questions relating to physiological and anatomical problems, to medical studies, and to the humane and moral attitude of the physician. Number 4. For those people who asked us whether they could come here in the near future to take part in the work of the school, or who, perhaps after passing their exams, have such a wish, we note that 3 to 5 additional lectures are to be given directly after the Easter lectures, from 19 to 22 April. The people concerned can, in the first instance, take guidance from them with regard to their further work. The subject, the nature of the human being and world orientation in the light of education and healing, as well as of the initially most important tasks of humanity in this field. Number 5. Setting up family medicine chests with our medicines would undoubtedly be desirable, but cannot be done at the moment, as the law says that only homeopathic medicines, which they have dispensed themselves, can be given by government-appointed town physicians. Once we are in the same position as these homeopathic physicians, that is, with regard to recognition under law, we will be able to do the same. In the meantime, we have to be content with making these medicines available by way of a pharmacy. Number 6. In response to the question as to whether the patient should be told about the way that the medicines work, we can say that the effect is indeed compromised if the knowledge about that is absorbed in the thoughts. But the harm is least if the thoughts are only intellectual, greater if they are in image form, greatest if the patient is capable of following the whole healing process himself or herself. But that should neither prevent giving any information about the effect which is wanted, nor deny a knowing patient treatment. Because what is lost through knowledge can be completely won back if the patient develops reverence for the method of treatment. Any information given must ensure that this happens. Number 7. Question about the type of injection. The injection should, as a rule, be given subcutaneously. Only if the patient fails to react after several attempts should the injection be given intravenously in highly potentized doses. In such a case, the effect of the first injection must have passed. Number 8. The letter refers to 2 lines, of which the one runs in the direction of the spine, the other from the head downward, and marks the hyoid bone, mandibular arch, thyroid cartilage, lateral part of the ribs. And the question is about the meaning of these lines. The latter line corresponds to what in animals is formed by the astral body from the most solid substances. In humans, this line is given its orientation through the upright posture in which it forms an oblique angle with the vertical. This is guided by the eye organization in such a way that the earthly eye has what might be described as a hypertrophic effect upon the vertebra. The developing eye, which then remains after death, orients the cartilaginous part of the ribs and the sternum hypertrophically. Because in spiritual beings like Lucifer, the human element is bypassed, both the spine and the cartilage part of the ribs with the sternum are absent. That is why the person who posed the question noticed the pointed chest and ribs inclined to the side on the sculpture of Lucifer. Number 9. With regard to the question about the cavities of the head and their importance, we can say the following. The physical and etheric part of the head are organized in such a way that in certain places the physical, and in other places the etheric, predominates, and the cavities appear in the latter places. They are the actual vehicles of the thoughts, whereas the places which are physically completely developed are the vehicles of life in the head and suppress the living thinking. If their activity is too strong, fainting or hallucinations or similar things occur. Number 10. With regard to the question about a mediumistic predisposition, the mediumistic predisposition of a person is based on the failure of the astral body and eye fully to engage with the abdominal and limb tract of the etheric and physical body in the trance state. As a result, the limbs and abdomen are engaged in an irregular way in the etheric and astral surroundings as kind of sense organs. Spiritual perceptions arise in this way. But at the same time, the moral and conventional impulses, which are normally at work in these organs, are disabled, just as they are also disabled in our ordinary sense organs. The eye sees the color blue, but not calumny and defamation. It is extremely difficult to achieve the physical healing of mediums. It could only be brought about through highly potentized tobacco injections into a part of a sense organ, for example, into the inner part of the eustachian tube or the cornea of the eye, which is, of course, very dangerous. Psychiatric healing requires, without fail, that the healer has a stronger will than the medium outside the trance, and that he or she can work through suggestion in the waking state. Number 11. With regard to the question as to whether one is intervening in the karma of the mother and the karma of the child, when a pregnancy is terminated to save the mother, the following can be said. Both karmas are steered along a different path for a short period, but soon put themselves back on their appropriate course, so that, in that respect, we can hardly talk about an intervention in their karma. By contrast, there is great intervention in the karma of the person undertaking the operation, and that latter has to ask himself or herself whether he or she is willing, in full awareness, to take on himself or herself something that will create karmic connections which would not have been there without such an intervention. But questions of this kind cannot be answered in general terms, but are dependent on the special circumstances of each case. Just like some things are also an intervention in karma on a purely soul level in cultural life, and can lead to deep, tragic conflicts in life. Number 12. A question concerning cod liver oil. Cod liver oil can be avoided if what underlies the corresponding illness is diagnosed and the medicines we have indicated are used, such as Walden 1, vegetable protein, vegetable fat, Walden 2, vegetable protein, vegetable fat, iron silicate, Walden 3, vegetable protein, vegetable fat, iron silicate, and calcarea carbonica. Number 13. When people who have suffered an injury have been in touch with the soil, belladonna D30, together with hyoscyamus D15, will be of benefit even if only a single injection is given. 14. Concerning the case of a 35-year-old diabetic. For this diabetic, the rosemary cure would undoubtedly be the best. It could be further supported by giving salicylic acid in decimal 10. 15. A question about the treatment of tinnitus. For tinnitus, opium in decimal 6 is to be recommended for general treatment. Psychologically, it is possible to bring about an improvement in time if the person can muster enough strength to transform the passive surrender to the ringing sound into active imagination, as if one were causing the sound oneself. Tinnitus is based on the weakening of the astral body relative to the etheric body in the bladder region. And the last one, number 16. Question about a case of encephalitis lethargica with sequela. One could try injecting the 38-year-old patient suffering the sequela of the encephalitis, who did not respond to the medicines used, with fly agaric D30, ensuring that after the injection there is a confident, cheerful atmosphere. Signed, Rudolf Steiner. Signed, Dr. Ida Wegman. And that is the end of the newsletter.